in your face. Really rapt to have Joshua So in the studio. Limitless plays happening right now at the No Vacancy Gallery in the city, Jane Bell Lane. Oh, welcome. Welcome to 3CR. Hello.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be back.
It is so good to see you. Now, it's a two-week immersive takeover. I love that. It's not a festival, it's a takeover. Tell us more.
Yeah, so I think this idea has been brewing for like a long time. I mean, I passed by this art gallery in QV, which not many people know about. I tell them, oh, you know, there's an art gallery on the first floor. And I don't know if people listening even know this, but No Vacancy is a really beautiful space next to the Daiso on the first floor. I've been friends with the gallery director and curator for a while, and I was like, I really want to make this happen. And so normal exhibition period is like 2 weeks, and you can just go in and have your artworks there. But I was like, let me see if I can do something more with this. So tonight, actually, after this, I have to go back to run a performance night events with some contemporary interpretive dancers. Tomorrow, we're playing music opening night. There's four acts. They're all Asian, Australian musicians. Five artists on display, including myself, Annabelle, Tim, Felix, and Lay. They're also really amazing. It's very diverse. The artwork is really inviting. And yeah, we just want people to come in and explore.
Now, you're performing tomorrow night. It's kind of like the opening extravaganza.
That's
even though the
right.
Festival's been running for a while, or the takeover, I should say. I love the name of your band. It's called Juniper Care.
Yeah, so the crazy thing is, it's not even a band. It's just one guy. It's just me. It's Tame Impala.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So how's it sound?
It's sounding really good. I have the setup all going. This is my second year making music under this moniker. I used to do music in a band that I formed with my high school friends from Hong Kong. And then since then, it's just been up and up. And now we're playing a big live music show at an art gallery, and we're almost about to sell out. So it's really cool.
Tell us about that name, Juniper Care.
Yeah, my Cantonese name is So Jun Yat, so the middle part is Jun. And I think because Josh, like every J name person knows this, they want to keep the J, you know, it's very part of your identity. So I just got started there, so Jun. And then at the time, I was also like, I was kind of aware of juniper blueberries. I was just like looking around online. I was like, oh, there's a planty thing. It's beautiful. It's nice. And then you know how like Stevie Wonder, you know, Freddie Mercury, those are like last names that kind of stick with you that are just like words, you know, Frank Ocean. And you're like, there's no way that, you know, they're not born with those names. So I wanted it to make sense as a sort of first name, last name thing. So I was like, what's the ethos of my work? And for me, it was just really about caring, or like giving a damn about what you do every step of the way. So this project, this Limitless Play thing, has been something that I've cared about for a long time and am still caring about until it is complete. And yeah, that's how the name is.
Where did the name come from?
It just sort of was a long process. Like just kind of like the starting off with like, I had some key touch points. I was like, I wanted to avoid it being too straightforward in terms of style. I didn't want it to, you know how, like, you know, you listen to like Metallica, Led Zepp, you know, like you know, you can kind of see what sound, you know, from the name itself. I want it to be vague. I wanted it to be sort of androgynous and sort of clean in a way that it could be anyone. It could be a white guy, it could be a black guy, Asian guy, Latino, it could be girl, it could be a program, it could be a band, it could be a duo. I just wanted it to be like, you just listen to the music and decide for yourself what it is. And then maybe down the line they discover, oh, it's this kid who grew up in Hong Kong and now lives in Melbourne. Yeah.
How did you end up in Melbourne?
So my father's Australian, so I'm an Australian citizen since birth, but they're from the Sydney side, and we came to Melbourne to look for university opportunities, and I just came here to study architecture, and that was 2020, and then I've quit architecture since to pursue music for a lot of the same reasons a lot of your listeners would probably agree with. Yeah, architecture is just not it for me right now. It's too capital. There's too much profit maxing and public housing is at risk, and I didn't want to be a part of that cog. And I realized you can do so much more and connect with people directly if you do something on your own terms. And for me, that's making music.
Architecture, though, must influence your music. I mean, those design skills must transfer so well to music creation, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's definitely a way in which you navigate software and your sort of work, like work ethic. I think all architects, students and architects are really hardworking. There's also a lot of steps to make a building. It's not just like you think about it and then, you know, this is where I think where art practices can vary a lot. I think some people are very intuitive artists. They just have a demo, they want to record it and it's there, or they have a painting and they just go at it and then one day and it's done. There is no architecture project or design project that can be done like that. It's always iterative and it takes process. And I think for me, music's like that as well. It can start from a small seedling, but then you just keep writing, you keep mulling and yeah, refine it over time. Yeah.
Tell us about Limitless Play's queerness.
Limitless Play is so freaking queer just by almost accident, because I found that a lot of my friends and creative friends especially just happen to be queer. And so of the group, there's a lot of, and also regarding the theme of play, I think our whole idea was to blur the lines between high art and what people perceive as more illustrative, cartoony styles. To see something really, for instance, Felix Pears' cartoony 80s VHS-inspired animations in a very crude way that's like, you know, there's like a bowl of cereal that like sucks the testicles of a cartoon character, or like it's really funny, it's really cool. I won't spoil too much, but to have that in a really, you know, clean white space with lighting and like in the middle of the CBD, I think that was important for us, that it wasn't just like, oh, we're doing something for something, we're doing this for us. Or Annabelle Lee's birthday cake that's very beautiful but also has a sad figure in it. There's a lot of a duality or blurring of the lines, and certainly queerness is part of it as well. And hopefully when people come see Limitless Play, no matter what background they're from, they feel invited to share and reclaim their right to play, a right that we're all born with, and we all slowly maybe forget as we grow up.
The CBD is such a great place to have a festival, a takeover that really showcases queer Asian folks. That
yes.
is so good.
Yes, I think that was key for when we chose the venue. I mean, I wanted to do this at No Vacancy because of its positioning geographically. And like you said, the passersby are exactly the kind of people you want to be noticing. But what's really great is there's been a lot of people who are regulars there that are also like some more older folk. There's a lot of regulars of No Vacancies that prefer or are used to their more kind of, well, just a bit more of the high art. Not to say that our work is not important, but it challenges them a little bit as well, or invites them to be a part of the conversation as well. So it's been really good, and I didn't want to do this anywhere else really. Yeah, it just felt right.
Tell us about some of the other nights that are happening for Limitless Play, like some of the other events.
Yeah, so even tonight, if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, I've got nothing to do, Platform Presents, which is an amazing organization and group run by Jess, is hosting a performance night with three performers and artists who are Asian, and they are doing sort of mixed medium. So they're doing movement, dance, and some sound, live sound stuff, which I think is really cool. I have not met any of them, and I'm really keen to. I have to go back later to support and make sure everything runs smoothly. That will be tonight. Tomorrow is big opening night. We've sold like 150 tickets for the space. It's really cool. Like, that's coming almost at capacity. I think we'll sell out. Everyone's invited to come talk to the artists and see the works, and then we'll have four live music acts. When Pei has come from Sydney, Robert Baxter and Jackie are local Asian kind of legends at this point, very iconic figures in the indie music scene, whom all of them are my good friends as well. So that's been really nice to really just like, you know, put the community in 3CR as well, you know, as to so speak. And then wrapping up with Juniper Care, which is my performance, an hour-long set at the end of tomorrow night. So that's tomorrow 7 to 11 p.m. And then Sunday is the final one. Hoisin Magazine, which is run by my friend Dan, is a quarterly magazine that focuses a lot on Asian and queer creatives. And they're launching their seventh issue called The Experimental Issue. And so that's a daytime thing. So we're using the cafe side a bit more. But then the exhibition is free to the public until the 16th.
What is the trippiest element of this wonderful takeover?
The trippiest element.
Yeah, where you go, wow, we've excelled there.
I think we've done that on a lot of levels, to be very honest. I think this has shaped up in a very, very good way and exceeding a lot of my expectations. It's really hard, right, when you're an organizer or when you're someone that's like, I'm organizer liaising and like talking to all these people, but also I have to prepare my set. Also, I have paintings and works in there, you know. Also, I have to sort out the drink situation. So that in itself was a little bit of a kind of like a, you know, scrambled eggs in my brain sort of moment. I think the trippiest moment is seeing all these people in one space, or, well, on Saturday, like tomorrow, I think seeing everyone will be like, wow, this is so strange. I've seen you all individually, but now we're all here to celebrate each other's works, and hopefully people can walk away from that. And yeah, it is quite trippy to me, the scale of this thing. I've never done anything of this scale, yeah.
Do you paint?
I do, wow. A little bit, yeah.
Wow. What do you, tell us.
I used to doodle a lot in class because I was so fucking bored in class. So I do a lot of these like little cartoony type things. I wouldn't really classify myself as a painter, but certainly as someone who draws and paints. I have a few pieces as well that refer to my music work. So it's really nice to have that intertextuality where it's like my works are starting to speak to each other. But, you know, running this exhibition has given me reason to go back and make some bigger works, which is really nice. And the others, we're all at different points of our career. So this is Felix Pear's first exhibition. This is my sort of first formal big scale exhibition with my name attached to it, not just like a big collective. Annabelle and Tim are veterans at this. They host a lot of exhibitions in art markets. And Lei also had her solo exhibition earlier this year at Schoolhouse Studios in Coburg. So we're all kind of just like banding together, all in our own lanes, doing creative stuff at the same time. It's really quite lovely.
Wow, your works talk to each other. Tell us a bit more about that.
So I have a piece called Anatomy Reunion Song, which is a print that's available on both my website and the gallery. And that is a reference to my song Reunion Song from my first EP. It's sort of a response to how Western sheet music traditionally is black and white and, you know, the treble clef, five lines and bars and staves. And I was never good at that, you know, growing up and being classically trained, not by choice because I'm Chinese. And, you know, you just kind of learn that and you kind of... Music is one of those things where I think everyone can approach it differently and everyone's understanding of it's different. So then I redrew my song in a way that I see it visually, and then it's colorful, it's kind of different, it's got symbols, it's got hieroglyphic kind of type things, and you look at it and you may not realize it, but slowly you can sort of see, oh, I see, that's the percussion bit, those are some lyrics, those are the song structures, and that's how it looks like to me. So that's a piece that I'm quite proud of, and it's going to be there.
So you were classically trained in Hong Kong. Tell us about that.
In Hong Kong, you're either born, if your parents can afford it, and they will try to find a way to afford it, you learn piano, you learn flute or violin or all of them, or, you know, you're a part of the orchestra or the choir. It just is a thing. And then the irony is you want to pursue music, and they go, okay, now get a real job though, you know? So it's like, it's pretty funny. So people are very... There's a method to it. It's almost formulaic. It's a very inorganic sort of way of approaching music. So I had to rediscover that and go through a dark time where I stopped playing for exams and then just started learning like pop songs. So simple pop songs, which are really accessible to learn on the piano. And then later on learning how to produce, learning how to play the guitar on my own. And then this hopefully will showcase all of those skills, because I've built a set that has like 8 instruments, and I'm my own sound engineer. I've made visuals for it because I have an art and design background. So everything's timed, everything's linked. It's very technologically kind of like complex, but also very humanistic, I think. So yeah, it's just like I was classically trained, but that doesn't really necessarily mean much, I think. But there's some traces sometimes, yeah.
But you could pick up almost any instrument and kind of know how to play it pretty quickly.
I'd like to think so, but, you know, that would definitely be underscoring the years and years of practice that it takes for people to master an instrument. I remember going to a friend's house and they have a double bass. And like, yeah, you can get the groove. But then he told me, he's like, okay, look, now try if you hold it this way. It's like small things like that you wouldn't pick up on. You really need someone to guide you and teach you. But I love just picking up and trying it anyways. And that's... in relevance to Limitless Play. It's just inviting you to, like, hey, like, as a kid, you go around, you see a little toy xylophone, you just go ding, 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 right? Like, no one's going to go, oh, I can't play that, right? You know, so many adults say that, right? It's like, they hand them the guitars, I can't do that. But you can, you're just not willing.
So being classically trained in Hong Kong and then kind of, you know, turning it all and kind of subverting it into pop music and activism and a takeover like Limitless Plays, that's a pretty radical thing.
It is radical. It's very fitting that we're talking about this on community radio. I really have a point about not signing to a major label at this point. I think when I was younger, that was sort of like, oh, that's how you do it. You know, you get signed, you do things. Being independent means I've been able to do all this at my own time and like at my own speed and for the causes that I enjoy. Earlier this year, when I started playing live shows, which I've only started doing this year, we played a show in Brunswick Artist Bar, and that show was a free gig, and I made sure that all my merch sales would go to Dunedin Mutual Aid in Palestine, and that was not even a profit thing. That was all of the sales. So I made a loss on that. Like it was my donation plus the audience. We raised like 500 for that, and that was amazing. And people just rocked up. And I realized from that, I think that there was a real sort of like, people need this. People need someone to get behind. And the power of art and music is so important. And it's not just something that you sell to someone and stream and commodify, you know. And so this time for Limitless Play, I've done a lot of things as well. So 50% of the sales are going to VACA, which is the Victorian Aboriginal Child and Community Agency. I've been liaising with them to make sure it's proper on their terms and that I'm not raising funds in an improper way, as well as making tickets accessible. So there's been a really cool idea where friends of mine who are overseas or families and friends who want to support, they can still buy a ticket, and then I am able to then give a reduced price to someone who cannot financially afford it in this country. So that way it's a win-win-win. And the moment I announced it, there was a handful of people that got it. So I'm like, oh, wow. So there's people that want to come and support the arts. We just need the funding. And to be able to do that at a personal level, because with management, they would have to go, no, we have to make certain gains and whatever. I'm completely happy just doing this the way I am doing it. And I think, that is sort of like a form of activism. But it's just sort of having a good set of values, I think. And hopefully it really reminds me, the name Juniper Care is like, I think from that point onwards, I've made a commitment to promise myself, like, I will care about my work in that kind of way, and how it reaches people.
Well, Limitless Play is on now until the 16th of November. There's an event tonight, tomorrow. There's the big opening party. There's another event Sunday. And you can see all the wonderful work being exhibited until the 16th. It's happening at the No Vacancy Gallery, of course, 34 to 40 Jane Bell Lane in Melbourne. Joshua So, it has been a joy to meet you. Thank you so much for coming into 3CR.
Thank you so much for having me.
3CR. In Your Face would like to thank Thorn Harbour Health for their sponsorship of this program. Thorn Harbour Health envisions a future where our LGBTIQ+ communities and people living with HIV are healthy and live safely with dignity and well-being. To find out more, search for Thorn Harbour Health online.